for the book of Joshua. So let's open our Bibles there. Book of Joshua, looking for chapter 3. So I'll give you a second or two to find that there. First five books of the Bible, find Deuteronomy, go right, find Joshua. Probably other announcements. Oh, I know, you know, the Harvest Festival is coming up really soon. I can't believe this. It's almost, October is threatening to be over. So that's a great night to get together too, just to play with the kids and to minister to the community. So plan to come on out. Sign up if you can. Help somehow, some way. Anything else happening? Probably. I can't remember. I've been gone for a day, so everything's new to me. I meet new friends every day. You know what it's like. You there? Joshua 3? Let's back up a little bit. Let's read verses 23 and 24 of chapter 2 so we can remember what we already knew. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all things that befell them. And they said to Joshua, "Truly, the Lord has delivered into our hands," now here it is, underlined, "all the land," all. "For even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us." They're afraid. They've heard about us. They've heard about the Lord. They are afraid. Let's go. We're going to do this. Not just Jericho. The whole land that's before us. God's given it to us for sure. And so verse 1 of chapter 3 says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning. They removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over." I like it. Joshua, a man of action. The Lord said, "Take the land. Be strong and of good courage." Remember chapter 1. Do this. Be courageous. Trust me. Move forward. And now the spies went in, and remember Rahab helped them out, saved their lives, and she asked that they return the favor. When Israel would take Jericho, she knew they would, and when they do, "Please remember me and my family, my mom and my dad, and all of my family." And the spies promised her, "We will." And she hung that that scarlet cord in the window. She lived there on the wall. So Joshua, a man of action. The spies reported all that had taken place. They come back with a great report. Rahab the harlot saved their lives. They said, "This city is ours." Josh, not just the city. This whole country is ours. The whole land that's before us. God has given it to us. Let's do it. So General Joshua gets up early. I like that. And he's ready to move out. I hope that you and I are that way in our walk with the Lord. We got a direction to go. You may not know how many miles this way or that way, but you know what? We've got to move. And so the Lord says, "Follow me." And so as a Christian, you say, "Let's go. Get up early and let's get going. Let's go do this." He gets up early. He begins immediate preparations to cross the Jordan, to enter into the land that God has given them. Finally, think about it. Finally, after 40 years of going sometimes literally in circles, after 40 years in the wilderness, they're going to actually cross the Jordan River and enter into the land that was promised to Father Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, even promised to Moses. They're going to enter the land. Now, think about it. This has got to be a huge step of faith. Why? Well, the first time, almost 40 years ago, they couldn't do it. They didn't have that kind of faith. They have been eating manna. The Lord's been caring for them. Their shoes haven't worn out. Their clothes have lasted for 40 years. They have been blessed. They have seen victories in their lives over the enemies, those that might attack them. They've seen the things that God can do. And after 40 long years, this is a huge step of faith. What am I talking about? Well, you see, once you take 2 million people across the river, you are in enemy territory, and I'm telling you, it's hard to get 2 million people across water. What's the point? You are going to have no quick means of escape. Once you get in the land, you're in it. You're going to have to fight there. You are in it. You're not just going to pack up and run. Everybody run. You've got children. You've got herds. You've got a few million people you're going to get across. Once you're there, it's like boundary. There's just no getting back easily. If you tried to run, well, like they used to tell us in the military, in combat situation, there's no reason in running. You'll only die tired. There's no way to get back across this water quickly. It's this giant step of faith. We're going to cross into the Jordan. Remember in chapter 1, we learned that the crossing of the Jordan is a type for us of being truly born again in Jesus Christ. It's a type of being born again. You and I enter into the promises of the Lord by grace through faith. But we talked about it. When we enter in, we enter into enemy territory, don't we? In other words, once you got born again, you entered into a war you didn't even know existed. It's a spiritual war. And then you're told to put on your armor and to recognize that you're not wrestling against flesh and blood, that this is a spiritual thing and it's difficult and you need the strength of the Lord. Remember all that. So here they go. They're getting ready. Now, during this time of year, spring, the snows, and it does snow there. Yes, it does. Even though it's the Middle East, yes, it does. I have been in Jerusalem in the month of March, and the snow was heavy enough to where the buses to take us to the airport couldn't get up the hills. Now, remember, Jerusalem sits on a hill. And so inside the city, there are some pretty steep little roads that you'll have to maneuver. And it was so much snow that the buses couldn't maneuver those roads. Yeah, it snows. Mount Hermon. And you see it in the distance up north there. The snows are there. And as they begin to melt in the spring, the Sea of Galilee fills up full. And of course, the water then continues on down the Jordan, past the city of Jericho. And what's happening here, the river runs high this time of year. It's the term I guess you and I could use is swollen. It was at flood stage. It's not just your nice little meandering river. You've got some rushing water, and it's at flood stage throughout from the Galilee region all the way down south toward the Dead Sea. And you know something? At this moment, in verse 1 of chapter 3, Commander Joshua, well, let's call him General Josh. General Josh, he doesn't really know how they're going to accomplish this crossing. He doesn't know. You know, the water's deeper, it's much wider, and it's rushing. You've been in water that's moving pretty fast. In Las Vegas, when I worked on the streets out there, there were times when it would rain, and that's a desert area, so the washes, is what we call them, they would fill with water. And I have seen, In just maybe an hour or two rain, people drive their SUV across sort of a flooded street, and soon they're not driving. The water rushing takes them down the wash. Now we've got to go get them. They're stuck in their car, and it's moving, but they're not driving. It's just being washed away. You can imagine taking your wives and your children and the flocks and the herds across this swollen river. Going to have a difficult situation on hands. General Josh, he doesn't know exactly how they're going to accomplish it, but he knows this. We're going across just the same. The Lord told us to cross, and so we're going across just the same. So you can write this in your Bible, faith. Something you hardly ever hear about anymore, huh? Faith. The Lord said cross. The Lord said be strong and courageous and go and cross. How are we going to do that? Not a problem. Here's what General Josh does. He moves the people over to the river. Let's get ready to cross. Look at verse 2. Came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, through the midst of the people. They commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Joshua, the commander, the general, he commanded that they move up to the River Jordan. They were in the city of Shittim, or the area called Shittim, not the city. About 8 miles east of Jericho. So he moves 2 million people up to the river. Because, you see, we're going to cross. When? About 3 days. We're going to get ready and we're going to cross this river. So they move about 7 miles from Shittim over to the Jordan River. They stop for 3 days. What to do? To do what? I'm starting to sound like Yoda. What to do? To prepare the people to cross the river. The leaders had to get the message to all the people so that everyone would understand how to do, what are your responsibilities, etc., etc. We're going to cross this Jordan. After 40 years, we're going to cross this Jordan. How are we going to do that? Well, the commanders went through the troops, went through the people, and they passed out the word. In 3 days, we're going to move. Here's what you need to do. You need to look for the Ark of the Covenant. Now, there's a big change. And people, not you guys, but I mean, you know, normal people, really don't like change. You ever notice that? Change scares people. They have a hard time dealing with it. We're told by psychologists, and who listens to them? We're told that people, that change causes literal stress in your system. That your system has a hard time dealing. If you have to move from one place to another, your system goes through this, your psychological system goes through this real topsy-turvy thing, your stress. If you have to move off to college and you have to do your own laundry, your system just has a difficult time adjusting to that because it's change and change scares people. Well, I'm talking change. What do you mean the Ark of the Covenant will go before us? Always, for the last 40 years, it's been a pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Big change. No longer a pillar of a cloud. No longer at night a pillar of fire. Instead, the Ark of the Covenant. Is God gone? No. Remember the Ark. Is a type of Jesus Christ. In other words, the Lord's going to still go before them. He's not going to be bright and shiny. He's going to go before them in the Ark of the Covenant. They're going to be led by the Ark of the Covenant. Now, that's kind of scary. What do I mean? Well, we're going to cross the Jordan. How many of the Israelites so far have been over there? Well, Joshua and Caleb. That was about almost 38 years ago. Then there were a couple of spies just recently. But do they know their way around? No. You know, I know this may shock you, but there were no maps. The Israelites didn't have this really well-drawn map. Wait a minute. Is this big blue line a highway or a river? No, there are no maps. There are no GPSs. Well, when we get in there, what do we do? Which way do we go? How do we? Here's what you're going to do. You're going to follow the Ark of the Covenant, which represents Jesus Christ, the type of Jesus. Not only just the type of Jesus, but Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead. You remember over and over and over, we've talked about what's inside the Ark. You remember that? Do you remember what's in there? Yes, you can. A bowl of manna, the commandments, the stone tablets, the commandments, and Aaron's rod that budded. Because Jesus Christ is the bread of life, and he fulfilled the law and the prophets, the law there in there, and he the rod that was budded, remember that the rod that budded was dead and came back to life. Jesus died and rose again. So see, the ark is a type, and of course the mercy seat that covers the ark. Remember everybody, to get to the law you have to do what? Remove the mercy. Ooh. Well, Jesus Christ going before them. They're going to be led by the Lord himself. There are no army scouts. There are no forward posts or positions warning them of things to come. They're not sending out people ahead and say, what's this, what's this? Not yet. They're going to cross all together as a nation, as a family, as the children of God. So here they go pretty soon. The priests, the servants of the Lord, they're the ones that will carry the ark out in front for everybody to see. Who are the priests? Since Jesus is a type, or the ark is a type of Jesus Christ, who are the priests a type of? Christians. We are a kingdom of priests, aren't we? What do we do? Look back at the Old Testament. We carry the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant represents who? Come on, stick with me here. Jesus. Are we carrying Jesus? We certainly are, aren't we? The mercy seat, when we come into people's lives, do they feel condemned? Or do they recognize that there's forgiveness and acceptance in Jesus Christ? Because we are the priests, and we carry the Lord to this lost and dying world. And when you show up in someone's neighborhood, they ought to be going, oh, cool, grace, mercy, love, forgiveness, Jesus. Right? So the priests will go out in front. Not the soldiers, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant. That's different than it used to be. Change. Now, he says in verse 4, now, and the priests and the Levites will carry it. You remove yourself from this place, go after the ark. Now look at verse 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way before, heretofore. The ark goes first. How far first? A little over 3,000 feet ahead of you. Do you realize that's over half a mile? Over half a mile. And you wait. When the ark is about a half a mile out there, then you begin to follow. Why? Do not come near it. But you've got to follow it to know the way. Why? Because you've never been there before. You do not know where you're going, and God does. So you must follow. Why is such a distance? I believe it's to show reverence. This is the Ark of the Covenant that they usually didn't even deal with. It was normally, all throughout the wilderness, inside the tabernacle, inside the holy place, inside the Holy of Holies. And the only one that ever dealt with it or went in there was once a year, the high priest. This represents the Lord God Himself to these people. God was not to be considered, listen closely, not to offend you or me or anybody, but let's just say it. God wasn't called the man upstairs. That's a pretty low version or a low image of who the Almighty God really is. You know, and you're seeing here, God's not considered just the man upstairs. He's the God of the entire universe. This is the Lord God Almighty, King of Kings, the powerful and the great Almighty God, the sovereign and the holy Lord God Almighty. And so out of reverence, out of respect for the Lord God, the Lord would lead them, but they would give plenty of room for the ark. And you'll read later on in the New Testament, as they're bringing the ark back into the land, you'll read about a man who gets too close to it, even touches it. And you remember what happened to that man? He instantly died. Well, sometimes you hear people say, Jesus and me are buddies. We're best friends. Well, he does call you friend. He does tell those of us that are truly born again, you are my friends. I call you friends. But I don't think y'all be running around calling, yo, Jay, what's up? I think that there's a better way to be praying. And there's a respect and an understanding that he is King of Kings. John sat with Jesus at dinner. And at the Last Supper, there they call the Last Supper, he leaned back and talked to Jesus, leaned up against him and talked to him. Remember? They were friends. But when Jesus was risen from the dead, John fell down at his feet. Read the book of Revelation and see the holiness, the power, the Almighty God. And I think that's the kind of reverence that we ought to show. And I think that's what they're showing right here. You see, this is a way you've never been before, so you've got to follow the Lord. If you don't, you won't know where you're going. Christian, do you hear that? You've never been this way before. Don't act like you have. We haven't. Every day with Jesus is brand new, and we've never been that way before, and we need to pay attention. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit, because He's going to lead us through territory where we have never been. And verse 5 goes on and says, and Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now that's interesting. You expected from the commander something like this. Sharpen your swords. Get your battle equipment ready. Repair your uniforms. If you need any equipment, see your squad leader. Let them know. We're going into battle. Get yourselves ready. That's not what you hear. Here's what you hear. Prepare your hearts. We're going to cross the river. Prepare your hearts to follow the Lord. Literally, consecrate yourselves. It's just not what we would have thought he would have said. Instead, he says this, get your hearts ready. Because tomorrow morning, you're going to see the Lord do amazing things. You know, think about this. If the president of the United States, whether you like him or not, were coming to your house tomorrow, what do you think you'd be doing today? Dusting? Oh, probably. Going out and buying food because, you know, whatever you made might make him sick and you'd be shot. You'd be preparing in all ways, wouldn't you? Kind of going over your manners, making sure that your children were gone from the house. And it's only the President of the United States. Get your hearts ready because tomorrow you're going to see the Lord work amazing things. Well, look at verse 6. Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. Here we go. It's time to move out. So they get up, says to the priest, take the Ark of the Covenant. Pass over before the people. They took up the Ark of the Covenant and went on before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. The people need to know it. They may be a little bit nervous and they need to realize it's all right. I'm here. I'm using Joshua now instead of Moses. It's all right. So the people need to see that. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. Okay, now you place yourself as one of the priests carrying the Ark. Okay, Commander, what do you want us to do? You go first. Okay, when you get to the river, just keep walking. You know, we're here at the river and it's flooding. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, it's rushing pretty hard. I know, just step right on in. God says, just carry the Ark right on into the river. You know, it's deep. Kind of cold. This is like spring. It's not like dead of summer. God says to Joshua, I will let the people see that I am with you, just as I was with Moses. Because people do worry. Change scares people. They need to know that the Lord is still in charge and that Joshua hasn't just, you know, eaten something and had a bad dream and thinks he's supposed to do this. The people need to know that the Lord is with you. And so here's what I want you to do. Joshua says to the priest, go on out there. When you come to the edge of the river, keep on walking. You go first. Go out and stop in the Jordan River. You know, it's deep this time of year. It's rushing water. Stop in the water. It might be too deep for us. Don't you even give it a thought. Just head on out there and stop in the middle. That's what they're going to do. Joshua said to the children of Israel, verse 9, come here, or come close. Hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from you, before you, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into the river, into the Jordan.
Now, therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, by the way, as soon as those soles of their feet shall rest in the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that came down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. Meaning, they'll stand on dry dirt. They'll stand on ground. Joshua calls the people together before the priests head out. Joshua calls them. Remember, the priests are going to be way ahead. He says, gather together. Now you're going to see what God's going to do. That God is with you. He's going to remind you He's with you. He's reminding you, you can trust Him. He will drive out all the enemies in the land that is before us. And here's what you're going to see. He's going to show you His power. The living God is among you. God's going to show you. And when the priests step into the water, into the river, the river will stop flowing. It'll stop coming in from the north, and a wide patch of the river is going to dry up. That's what He's telling them. Just watch what the Lord will do. He's going to part the rushing waters of the Jordan. As the priests step into the waters will part so that you can cross. This is a miracle, and it's a pretty big miracle. Now, think back to Moses. When the Red Sea was parted, what did Moses do? Moses touched the water with his rod, didn't he? And the wind blew all night, and early the next morning, now the waters had parted, and they could walk across on dry land. Now, notice, when the Lord goes first, they're going to step into the river, and the river is going to stop flowing instantly. It's not going to be an all-nighter. It's not going to be some wind blowing. It's going to be an absolute right now, the power of God. And this is a big miracle. This is big. Some say bigger than the crossing of the Red Sea. Not as many people talk about it, but this is a big miracle. And the children are going to see it. The children of Israel are going to see this happen right before their very eyes as the priests with the Ark of the Covenant representing the Lord Jesus Christ. When they step into the river, the river is going to stop. The flow from out of the Sea of Galilee is going to shut off. Instantly. And they're going to walk across. And they're going to stand in dry ground in a riverbed. So He says, I want you to choose out 12 men, one from each tribe. And when you pick them, I'll tell them what their assignment is coming up soon. And it came to pass, verse 14. When the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, as they that bear the Ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water, right as they touched the water, for Jordan overflowed all its banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zeratan. In other words, you're looking at about 6 miles or so, a dry river for miles. And yet that would make sense if you're going to bring 2 million people and their flocks and their herds. You're going to need a large space of dry to get across. That those, and he says, not only did the water stop up north, but those that came down toward the Sea of the Plain, even the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the center, or in the midst of the River Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until the people were passed clean over Jordan. The day has finally arrived that you've been hearing about for the last 40 years. The time when God's going to actually let His children into the promised land, allow them to stop their wandering, and going to lead them into the land. Now, things are going to change drastically. No longer will it be a cloud. No longer will it be a pillar of fire. Now it's the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Lord Himself, after 40 years of trials and testing, now the day arrives. They're going to enter into the promised land this very day. The river is rushing. It's at flood stage. And I got to give those priests some credit here. Faith. I mean, if there are four of us or six of us carrying this thing, you know we're looking at one another going, don't stop. I'm going to keep walking. That's what he told us to do. You stop, we're going to dump this thing. And you dump the Ark of the Covenant, somebody's going to get in trouble. Right? It's rushing. It's deep. And they just kept walking into the river. As soon as the foot touched the water, it stopped rushing and it was shut up. Now, you know, the Ark, a type of Jesus Christ. The crossing of the Jordan, a type of you and I entering into eternal life. And do you remember when you entered into eternal life, it was because of Jesus Christ by grace through faith? Do you remember that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and for mine? And that once we opened our hearts, gave our lives to Jesus, that we walked around saying, and we are crucified with Him, we died with Him. Do you see that Jesus went into the river first? Do you see that Jesus died and was risen from the dead? And you see that every one of us who comes to faith in Jesus Christ by grace will also tell the world, I died with Jesus there on the cross. Paul will say to the Galatians, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. You remember that? Galatians 2:20. See how it all is pictured for us here, typed for us here. Now you know something? Not one of these children of Israel, not one, will excuse Caleb and Josh. Not one of them crossed the Red Sea. You know that, don't you? Remember, all those people died. Over the last 40 years, they all died. So every one of these people that's crossing over into the Promised Land has never seen this miracle. Remember all those that talked about all those years you heard about the crossing of the Red Sea, and they would tell their children, and the children would go, Mom, what was it like? Dad, now tell me that. Tell us that again, Grandpa. Well, the wind blew all night, and I mean, we walked across the Red Sea on dry ground. It was amazing. You couldn't believe it. We got to the other side. We sang the song of Moses. I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider thrown into the sea. But all of these people only heard about that. Does that make sense to you? What's the point? Well, probably your parents told you the things that happened to them when they were young and they got saved and God worked in their lives. And you go, that's a cool story. Tell me that one again, Dad. Tell me that one. But you know, sooner or later, you have to have your own experience with the Lord, don't you? Sooner or later, it's got to become real in your life, in your heart. You need to open your heart and say yes to the Lord. And now they're seeing the miracle, the things that they've heard about the crossing. Now they're experiencing a crossing. What happened because of it? Before we go, we'll do the next chapter. It's short. What happened because of this crossing? God was glorified. Joshua was exalted. So the people did realize, yes, the Lord is with him, just as he was with Moses. It also encouraged the children of Israel. Look at this amazing miracle. He is going to drive out our enemies. The Lord is with us. Look what he's done. It encouraged them to go, okay, let's cross. I don't know what's over there, but whatever's over there, the Lord's going to handle it. So God was glorified. Joshua was raised up so the people could see he's really the chosen, the called one to lead. The people were encouraged. And the news went out all over the land. So the Canaanites were even more terrified than they were yesterday. Notice, with this one miracle, the Lord accomplished all sorts of things. People ask today, do miracles still take place? I believe they do. But I am one of those that believes that God isn't in the circus business. He doesn't run three-ring circuses, and He doesn't do miracles just to really amaze us. When God works a miracle, it's for the purpose of His glory and whatever else He's trying to accomplish. For instance, God was glorified, Joshua was exalted, the people were encouraged, and the enemies were even more, now more shaken in their shoes, and you're going to see them run away. And in chapter 4, It came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take you the 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe or man. And command you them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm. In other words, out of the middle, out of the center of the river, 12 rocks, stones. You should carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge tonight. So now listen closely. They all crossed the river. Everybody was